You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Truffant, and I'm here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work through the long-term growth and power of YouTube. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to get your YouTube videos ranked in search. We're going to be talking about how tags can help. We're going to talk about evergreen versus viral. We're going to talk about being patient, because that is definitely going to be a huge part of it, and much more. So stick around.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Truffant.
Hey, George.
Hey, Dennis. How you doing?
I am good. You know why I'm good?
Because you just had lunch.
That and because YouTube now has A/B testing available for thumbnails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You tested that, didn't you?
And I did test the A/B testing. And in case you're not too familiar, and if you're a little bit newer to the game of what A/B testing is, A/B testing on YouTube allows you to now have multiple thumbnails that you can display on your videos, and it will toggle between the three max, and then it'll actually let you know which one is performing the best.
Yeah.
And then pick that one to run for you. So instead of just having one, you can now have multiple thumbnails and see which one works. And I love data so much. So when I get an opportunity to test those things out, I will always take it. And nice thing is now I believe that beta has fully rolled out to all content creators. So everybody has access to A/B testing.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I know I asked you this question when it first came out. Like you said, it's cycling through, right? It's not pushing both of them out. It's rotating between the different thumbnails as options, correct?
Yeah. And so what it'll do, one, you can actually do this with obviously any upload you're doing from now on, but also in your past videos, you can actually go and change thumbnails if you feel like it's necessary. And what's really cool is that, yeah, you can do the two or the three, so depending on what you want to do, and then it'll just cycle through. I think it's like 14 days that it goes through. And as time goes on, if it has enough data, it'll actually tell you in real time like which one's performing the best. I would typically just let it go through unless there's like a wide difference between the performance.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is they do the performance based off of watch time metric rather than anything else, because to them that's what YouTube cares about the most.
Correct.
So they're saying which thumbnail is getting people to stay on the video the longest, which usually means whatever you have on the thumbnail is the most relevant to what's actually happening in the video. And so that's what they tend to go with. So you can choose something different if it doesn't align with your results that you're looking for. But obviously with YouTube, they want more watch time.
Correct. And what's interesting is one of the ones you were testing, the thumbnail we thought would have performed better didn't. Actually, it was the quite opposite. And it's nice to have that now integrated into YouTube versus before you're like, well, hopefully this works. And then you have to give it time to, you know, kind of rank and things like that or be searched. And then it's like, oh, well, it's not working. Let me change it.
Yeah.
Well, now it's already integrated it and it's
been great. And there's something to it where, and, you know, we talk a lot about this when it comes to data, is like the data doesn't have any emotion. It's just facts.
Yep.
And so when we can go based off of those things, it allows us to make decisions. Obviously, we still get emotional on a lot of things. I've shared my story here on this podcast many times where I ran into issues and, you know, the data told me one thing and I wanted to do something else and I pushed kind of hard against it for a long time and then finally let go and, you know, it was proven to be right. And so now I'm like, yeah, I'd rather win than try to be right about everything when it comes to my data. And this is just another metric now that we can track. And it'll actually kind of play a little bit of a part of today's episode, which we can go ahead and actually get started today.
Yeah.
Okay. So how to get your YouTube videos ranked in search. Now, depending on how you are approaching YouTube, you can do a lot when it comes to search. And I do want to actually first and foremost actually preface this is that it's getting the right viewer to the right video is kind of your intention when it comes to search. And I mean, you can also even really focus on that when it comes to the browse videos, the videos you would just release for like your audience or just random people to find. And so that's really important. And I really want to kind of bring it out the gate with that. And then when it comes to really making sure that we understand a little bit about like how YouTube's functionality works is that it's the second largest search engine in the world, right behind Google, which is owned, or YouTube is owned by Google. And what's really fascinating is with ranking videos on YouTube, you can actually show up in Google searches as well.
Yep.
So you have a new like area to kind of gain more viewership from. We actually get a lot of external views from Google search as well too for our content because we're very heavy evergreen based content.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of want to open up with that because the possibilities of where you can show up is so massive with search because you're trying to be intentional with the right viewer to the right video.
Yeah.
That it's honestly one of my favorite things. Like I love the fact that when we're ranking our videos that we're getting them not on just YouTube search, but also on Google searches when somebody's looking something up. I just told you the other day I was doing some like preliminary work for something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I typed something into Google and my video's thumbnail came up in the images for it too. So it's like my YouTube stuff is everywhere at this point.
Yeah.
But it's a really powerful system. So we want to make sure that we kind of abide by its rules, knowing that sometimes the rules can break. But like for the most part, what we're trying to do is get the right audience to the right video because there's no use of trying to help somebody solve a problem that they don't have an issue with.
Correct. And I just wanted to ask a clarifying question.
Yeah.
When you say right views to the right video, wouldn't you say every view is the right view? You know what I mean? Like,
or definitely not. I mean, it really breaks down. Like, so we talk about financial apps on our main channel, but this works with so many other channels that we've worked with as well too, which is if you're trying to help solve somebody's problem with something, which is usually why somebody's searching on Google or correct. YouTube, is that like, we want to make sure that's the audience member we're capturing and not some other random person who doesn't need that solved.
Yeah.
Right. And like, yeah, sure. It could be good for somebody, but the reason why it's so important is because when we get the right person to the right video and we help them solve their problem, they are staying on that video in its entirety or close to its entirety. And so like your retention is so much higher. And so YouTube is going to love that.
Yeah.
Because they're like, wow, every time we send somebody to Dennis's video, they stay on there so much longer than when we send them to video B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And so we would have a higher likelihood of ranking up. So like that, we're going to break more into that as well too. But like for sure, when we bring the right audience member to the right video, we're actually doing ourselves the service just as much as we're doing the audience member service. And if we get a bunch of wrong people showing up on our video, that's going to hurt our retention for the video link because they're going to click the video and be like, oh, this is not what I needed.
Yeah. I'm bouncing out. Yeah.
And that actually hurts us way more, which is why one of the little side secrets that we talk about, so it's not really a secret around our realm, but most people don't know this, is you can actually, when you're uploading a video, you can actually toggle off it being sent out to your subscribers.
Correct.
And I know to a lot of people are like, what? I can't even imagine not sending it to my subscribers. Well, if it's a very hyper-specific tutorial or educational piece that maybe isn't relevant to your entire audience, releasing it under the radar is what we like to call it.
Yeah.
It actually helps rank faster and actually goes through the process better because of the fact that you're not getting a bunch of random people that don't need the video.
Correct.
And so I've seen much better results for certain types of videos. So it's not for every video, but certain types of videos, especially when you get very nitty gritty in the details of what you're trying to serve for an audience.
Correct. And just to break that down just a little bit more is basically views don't equal, or all the views don't equal the right views.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'd rather, and I say this all the time, I'd rather get 100 people watching a video that's exactly what they need than 10,000 people watching a video that have no need for that piece of content.
Correct.
And as an educator, that's what I want. I want to serve the right person to the right video. And yeah, sure, don't get me wrong. It's really nice to see, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 views on a video. And there are sometimes I'll make videos with the intention of trying to get there because the app is pretty popular.
Yep.
While other times there are applications or tutorials that I get to serve my audience knowing that it's not going to hit those numbers. And so for me, I'm like, I'm okay with the numbers not being so big if the audience member is being reached that I'm trying to target.
Yeah. And that's knowing the difference. And we'll chat about that here in a little bit. But
yeah, there is one other thing I did want to mention before we go to the next section here. And this is kind of just, again, just like a little bit of an overview with YouTube and how freaking amazing they are at like knowing what you're doing in the videos at this point. It sounds creepy to some people, but I'm like, I love it. YouTube can transcribe your video really well to the point where it can give subtitles, which means it also knows what you're saying in your videos. And so I like to preface with a little bit of, I take that information and say, when I make a video, the first thing I say is pretty much what the title is going to be. So if it's like how to do XYZ, the very first thing in the video, I'm going to say, today I'm going to show you how to do XYZ because it's going to be transcribed and it's going to help with the algorithm as well too. So just kind of something to play along with when it comes to all of this. It's just one little extra thing that we're paying attention to. So I'm not going to spend my time telling people who I am and to subscribe at the beginning of a video. I'm just telling them exactly what it is because it's going to be in the transcription.
Yeah. Awesome. And that's truthfully just staying true to what you're talking about in the video to transpire to the title, any tags,
yeah,
the description, anything like that, right?
Yeah, so it's really important, right? There's a lot of, you know, browse stuff that people can make that can be sensational or, you know, viral. Great. That's not what we're here and talking about, right? There's plenty of other podcasts and probably other YouTube channels that you can go to learn about how to go viral. That's definitely not what we talk about here on the channel. We're slow growth. We're somebody who's intentional with what we're trying to do, and we want it sustainable. Like, that's huge for us, right? Yeah. Getting something to go somewhat viral can actually be a detriment to a lot of channels. And so for us, we want to be sustainable on our growth. And what we really want to do is make sure that we're always truthful to what our video is going to be about by helping people understand it from the title's perspective, but also the thumbnail perspective. And like, we don't want to put in, you know, ours is very tutorial based, but like, I'll give you an example. If we talk about Ally Bank, right? Yeah. It's a nice bank, great customer service and all that. So the thumbnail is going to have Ally's bank's logo on it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put in Chase, which is like the number one bank in the world, in the thumbnail, you know, because it's not going to be relevant to the video. And I know that's like obvious for a lot of people, but people tend to have a knack for doing that for some reason, to put something that's not really relevant within the video just to help gain it traction, which, you know, again, happens a lot more on the like the trying to go viral side than the trying to go, you know, evergreen side, but it is something that people can still do. So we want to be cautious with that. We don't want to be putting Chase Bank's logo on an Ally Bank video because it's not relevant.
Correct.
And getting those views would be detrimental to the video.
Correct. And I've mentioned this on another episode, but it's like catfishing, right? I'm not going to just post or have a thumbnail or title just to get your attention to watch my video. That's going to be completely different.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if you're not serving the audience member, you're doing a disservice for them. They're going to leave the video. It's going to hurt your retention. It's going to hurt the video's possibility to even get ranked. Like it's like a down spiral, so to speak, right?
Correct.
And so we just want to be very cautious with that, and that's why we mentioned it.
Yeah, and I'll go just one step a little bit deeper of like even the tags. I mean, I know some people have used tags before that are more relevant, like, oh, viral, but you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, if that's not relevant to what's being said in the video, it's only hurting you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so like let's dive a little bit more into the tags, because that's obviously one of the sections we were diving into anyways. So tags on your videos, and it's interesting because even YouTube kind of mentions like they're not super important, but they do play a role in the process. And so what I mean by that is that once YouTube truly understands what your video is all about and gets a really good read based off of the viewership, the transcription and all that, the tags won't be as important. Yeah. But what they will do is early on help get you leverage for your videos to get ranked in certain areas. And I'll kind of give you an example. So like if we're going to be going through the process of like, let's just go back to Ally Bank, right?
Yeah.
So Ally Bank is, you know, let's just say we're talking about how to open up an account with them. So like in our tags, we can use how to open up an Ally Bank account, because that is exactly what we're doing. And that would be a tag we use. But then we can also do other things along the lines of how to open up a new online bank.
Correct.
Right. It's a little bit more vague, but it's still relevant.
Correct.
But if I said something along the lines of how to open up how to open up a, like, really losing my brain here.
Let's just say, because this was talking about a bank, in HSA account.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's not a bank, but it's still a savings account in regard, but it's still too different.
So, well, I mean, you could even go like further to, sometimes people might even use like tags that are so off, like they could use Chase Bank, right? Or how to open up a Chase account in the video for how to open up an Ally account, because they're like, well, how to open a Chase account is more known. It's the bigger one. It's the one people are searching. But that would actually still hurt the video because it's not a Chase. Like, people are expecting a Chase Bank when they're typing those searches in. And YouTube will penalize you for those kind of things. So you want to be accurate with thinking how your audience member would potentially find it, right? You know, somebody might be looking for how to open up a good online savings account, and that could be relevant. Or it could be, you know, what are the steps to opening up an online account is also relevant as well, too. So those are the things that we want to be really attentive to. But doing, because this is a process of how to just open up the account, there's no review. If you said Ally review, you're not being relevant.
Yeah.
Right. So again, you want to be very truthful to what the video is going to be about, because that's what you're trying to draw in from a few other areas that might be relevant that the video would be helping that audience member with. Having a review tag in your video that's talking about a step-by-step process is not doing the audience member any favors. And if anything, they're going to go into that video being like, this is not what I needed.
This is not a review.
And then they bounce. And then you see that your retention just lower so quickly, and it's going to hurt its opportunity to rank. And YouTube's like, well, you said it's this thing. audience doesn't experience the same thing. So we're not going to trust that this video is going to perform or going to do well for the audience. So we're not going to rank it.
Correct. And then there's even something that I've seen you do. And I was just curious about it because I thought it was a misspelling.
Yeah.
So I've seen you intentionally misspell some words.
Yes. So, and that's mostly because I do also misspell words.
That's fine. So, and you could have been lying to me this whole time and be like, no, that's intentional.
But, yeah. It's a coy. Yeah. So the other thing, is if something is possibly going to be misspelled, like maybe somebody, if we go back to our current example, would be like Ally Bank. Maybe they accidentally only leave like one L. So it's A-L-Y. Or A-L-L-I-E bank, like whatever other potential phrases that people might come up with, we'll put in there as well too.
Yeah.
There's a max of 500 characters. I rarely ever get to the max most of the time because there's only so many different iterations that I'm looking for to draw people in. But yeah, you could do misspellings. You could also do like any kind of phrases that are relevant to that as well too. So like, you know, you mentioned earlier like high yield savings. So some people now abbreviate that to like HYSA. So that could be an abbreviation that still leads people to the content as well.
Got it. Okay.
So abbreviations and stuff like that as well too. Yeah.
Cool.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Now, of course, I'm always going to be an advocate for telling or for letting people know that it's always going to be best to research before you record and not to do tags and try to title it in a way to get it ranked after the fact. Now, there would be some caveats, obviously, as you gain experience and knowledge on how to do it and like what people are looking for, you'll get better at it. Like I can kind of do that to some capacity, but I still do a lot of research beforehand because I want to know that what I'm going to be creating is something people are looking for. Because again, my intention is I want to release this today, but I want somebody, you know, 5 years from now to be watching this video and be served.
Yeah.
And so for me, I want to play the long game, right? I don't want to just win once. I want to win all the time.
Yeah.
I showed some of our members one of my backend videos, like the analytics for it. And I remember one of them left like a chat and they're like, dude, that's such a nice graph because it's like up and to the right. It's constantly getting views. It's been out for years. It's generating subscribers, ad revenue, all of the things that we want in our performance. And, you know, for us, I think when I looked at it, the day it released, it was like 15 views and now it's tens of thousands.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people forget that with the evergreen type of content, like realistically, we don't want it to blow up because like you said, it gets high. And then after that, it's just that downfall.
Yeah. More often than not. Rarely have I seen a video, at least on evergreen intentions, to have a huge spike in viewership, taper off and then continue to grow. Like it's essentially, I would say the 80-20 rule, right? 80% of the time it's going to either like launch up and then plateau, or it's going to start slow and then it's going to gain its traction over time.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this because we've had some people in the academy transition from, and it wasn't necessarily viral videos, but they were more, just more browse, correct? And more gearing towards...
Real quick. So anybody that's hearing this, when we talk about browse is when it shows up on random people's home pages on YouTube and they'll click on it with having either not intentionally searched for it or not even knowing the channel.
Correct.
So that's browse. It's usually how a lot of people get views.
Correct. Thanks for that. So they were more towards on that and now they're leaning towards getting ranked in search, right? So they're seeing the shift of, oh, I don't have to produce content as frequently because these evergreen type of content is kind of keeping the channel overall steady.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And that's a beautiful thing is like when you're getting just consistency on your views, and that comes from the research.
Yeah.
It comes from understanding like what's being searched, and there's different ways you can go about it. Just generic research, right? You can go onto Google and look things up. Google actually has a thing called Google Trends.
Yep.
That allows you to see the trend marks of a lot of different key phrases. There's a tool that we love to use called TubeBuddy. We'll have it in the resources down below for you guys if you want to check it out afterwards. So it's Tube, like T-U-B-E, Buddy.
Yep.
And it's an extension on your browser that you can actually go ahead and do more research with and kind of break down a lot more of the key phrases people are utilizing and seeing what it is that people are searching for and the volumes at which they're searching for and the competition in which you're going to be competing against, right? And some of them are obvious, right? If you type in how to open up a PayPal account, which we're going to keep with our content, that's hard to compete against.
Yeah.
I am fighting it and I will win one day to get number one rank for that.
But that'll actually be talking about a little bit later with like the patients. But like what we're trying to do is look for, there's a couple different areas, right? One, you can compete against things that have already existed because your voice is going to be different than anybody else's. So first and foremost, always know that that's going to be the case. Second is going to be relevance of like how you show up versus how others show up, right? Like maybe your style, again, is different than others. So not only your voice, but your style.
Yeah.
And then there's also just like looking, and this is my favorite thing, is looking for low search and no competition, or even low competition. And a lot of people kind of like stay away from that because they're like, well, that's not worth my time. It's not worth my energy. I truly believe it to be one of the most advantageous things. And granted, we got to a point where we're making good money so we can kind of pivot into smaller areas. But one of my favorite things, I actually just had a video today before. I don't know if you
didn't tell me this.
So the person left a comment saying, this is crazy. I just searched for it today. And the video I released just released today. Wow. And it was how to do something from one app to another app, essentially saving some money. And it was so funny. I even mentioned like messaged them back saying like, hey, yeah, just released the video today. Glad you found it.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it's like that video is probably not going to get a billion views. Definitely won't get a billion, but like it might get a couple hundred views in its lifetime. But what's happening is that person now has trust in me.
Yeah,
because I'm serving a smaller audience that isn't being served. And two things I can do with that. One, I send them to another video at the end, which is one of our go-to items, right? We call it the MAP method, mesh all playbacks, mesh that video to something else you have already created.
Yep.
And then two, even if they just watch that video and then bounce out of YouTube because they got what they needed, the next time they come and search for anything on YouTube, there's no evidence of this technically, but I believe it within my soul that YouTube, if that person types anything else around finance, YouTube will have my videos rank higher for that individual person because they got so much value out of my content.
Well, let me add to that, because this just happened because I was going through the comments and as well the other day. And funniest thing, I forgot it was the video to like how to transfer off of like a Visa card or how to... Video you released a while ago,
yeah.
Right? Like years ago. Guy left a comment. He's like, man, this is the second time I've had to use this video and I searched it and I like basically got you again. And it's been like basically years apart. And he's like, and then he was also like sad that it's so hard to do it that I had to search it. But it's those little things that's like, oh yeah. Because like, look, time and time again, if you serve the people that aren't being served, from what we could gather, YouTube will then bring them back to your quote unquote. Yeah.
Yeah. Like future content when they're searching again, because in case you didn't know, and I would encourage you to try this. Not everything is going to work out this way, but when you search for something and like you see those like top four or five videos, right? Because afterwards you got to start scrolling. If somebody else with a completely different account, different type of history of viewing will search for something similar or like the exact same phrase, their top list might look different. It might even be the same videos, but in like a different order, or it might be completely different channels that are showing up on that top five list because YouTube wants to get the best chance to serve that audience member. And if I've served them once and they stuck around that video, YouTube has a better chance to think that I will serve them again in a future video when it comes to the things I'm relevant about and what they're searching for and what I have in my catalog.
Yeah.
And so again, it's not quantifiable, unfortunately, because like there's no way for us to do that. But like based off the data, based off how it functions, based off of how certain videos end up performing over time, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense on like how it kind of goes about it for us. And so what that does for us is know that when we release videos that are going to get only a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand views in its lifetime, that we're doing the service for ourselves in the long term, because then that audience member is going to be helped. And then they're going to come back when they want to learn the bigger thing on how to get an ally account open. We're going to show up as number one, regardless of whoever else is number one, because we are the ones who served that person back when they had a different question. And we were the only ones that solved it.
Correct. No, and I love that. And again, it just goes back to essentially doing the research first.
Do the research first, because then you start understanding what is it that your audience needs? Mm-hmm. How can you best serve them, right? And doing the research beforehand could just be like, and this is my favorite thing, is type into YouTube directly and everything that populates on that list as you're typing are the things that people are looking for, right? So if you're somebody who's into crockpot cooking, if you're like how to crockpot cook blank, it's gonna fill in the gaps for you. And you can start answering some of those questions in videos.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. Before we go into this next topic really quick, I know you mentioned like, hey, don't worry about how many other people are producing the similar type of content. I just heard this, so I kind of wanted to share this. Is picture going into your store, your grocery store, grabbing a loaf of bread. In that aisle, how many different types of?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. There's but yet, they all are still on the shelves and selling out, yeah. Right? So very similar of you're only competing with yourself. Get out there, showcase your talents, your niche, whatever it is you're trying to do, and be consistent and do the research. And over time, you will get there.
And you'll get better. And there's the last thing we're going to mention today is going to be like the most pivotal part. So make sure you're listening to the very end here, because I think that kind of ties it all together here for us when it comes to talking about this, right? Because we could get you excited about, you know, what it's going to look like for you down the road, like what it's going to be like to have, you know, 50 videos for you getting 10 views every single day. Like, those are beautiful things. I showed somebody my graphs over the last 90 days and they're like, dude, that's the most like consistent graph I've ever seen on YouTube. And like, that's our goal, not just for ourselves, but for anyone listening and for anybody working with us as well too. So I did mention like there's a thing called browse videos and then there's evergreen videos. And there's also viral videos, which a lot of people know about. And the biggest difference is that for browse is it's kind of like a one and done, I like to think of, where evergreen is really like it's something that is viable for us all day, every day, no matter what. Now, not every video we make ends up becoming evergreen. Sometimes they have become browse popular videos. Never have I actually had a viral video that like went from 0 to 100,000 in a short period of time. Yeah. I have tons of videos that are over 100,000, but they gain that viewership over that time period. So just know that when you're trying to reach a certain audience, like know where you're trying to reach them. So we have one of our members in our group where he was more of like that browse you kind of mentioned earlier, and he's kind of trying to pivot a little bit more into some of the evergreen. And some of his content is when he like produces it, because you know he's trying to make it something that's like in the moment and like in the news or like popular. Like that's going to be definitely more of a browse, where when he talks about like how to do certain things or what something actually is in his niche, like that's evergreen. Like we had him create something around his niche, explaining what his niche is essentially for people who didn't know. And that video, it looks like it's going to be performing over time just because he's solving an answer for people that maybe don't really know and gets them into the fold. And now when he does release any other videos, they're going to get those recommendations.
Yeah, no, that's great. And then again, going back into, because I know you mentioned the difference between browse and search and evergreen content, but how do thumbnails and like click-through rates play a role into that?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty big role, because when you're going to help somebody based off of an evergreen, and when we say evergreen, they're typing it in, they're looking for an answer to their problem.
Yep.
The thumbnail gets to represent that and let them know, where browse usually causes curiosity in thumbnails, right? So like kind of cliffhanging it on the thumbnail by like making it a mystery or unknown.
Yeah.
Way more on the browse side of things, where in a how-to or tutorial or like helping them solve their problem, they don't want to guess that you might have the answer for them. They want to believe that you do know the answer. So you want to be very upfront with the way you kind of present that in your thumbnails, right? So if I'm going to teach somebody how to withdraw money from a particular app, like I want the picture on the thumbnail to have the button that says withdraw, because then they're like, wow, he has the answer on screen. So I believe he's going to show me how to get to that screen.
Yeah.
Right. And so like we want that, right? It's like, I don't want to make a video in how to like withdraw money from something and like the thumbnail say, is it even possible? Like
put a question mark.
Like with a question mark and be like, is this possible? Like, so we want to prove to them as best as possible before they even know that they're going to click on the video that we have the answer to their problem.
Yeah.
And not making them guess it. So that's the biggest thing. And what's really cool is, and I do apologize because I don't have it off the top of my head how to get to the section, but you can actually go into individual videos and look at your click-through rate, which is your CTR, how many people saw your video versus how many people clicked it. And you can actually break that down into the more advanced analytics side and see how many, what's your click-through percentage for browse versus search versus notifications versus any other form of YouTube reaching out to audience members. And what I love about that is that information guides us to know that we're in the right direction.
It's vital.
Yeah. So we can have a video thumbnail, like click-through rate thumbnail that is like 5%. And for some people, that might be great. For others, might not be great. Always compare just for yourself. George has kind of mentioned that multiple times in podcasts. It's so important. You're only competing against yourself. So if you say, hey, 5% is actually lower than my average 7, I wonder what's going on.
Yep.
So instead of just quickly making an assumption and changing the thumbnail or changing the title, we want to go look at the data. Because on the back end, in the deeper analytics, it might actually be a 12% on our search for click-through rate and 2% for our browse and all the other features. So that averages it out closer to 5 or maybe even 6%. And so we would have done ourselves a disservice had we changed that thumbnail, because 12% in search is really good if that's where we're kind of trying to aim. So going off the top of my head, I know that when you go into the analytics for individual videos, you would go into the reach tab, which is towards the top, and you would see your impressions and your click-through rate. And there's a see more button underneath the main graph. I'm doing this by memory.
Doing great.
And when you click the see more, it'll take you to a brand new page. It might look a little overwhelming at first. And at the very top of that new page, there's a thing called traffic sources. And from there, that's where you're going to be able to see the difference in percentages for where your videos are being clicked on.
Yeah.
But again, whether it's from browse or search, suggested, or any of those other forms.
Yeah. No, and it makes a difference, right? Because I do remember the first time you showed me that. And knowing whether or not it's showing up in browse or in search allows you to make the appropriate change.
Yeah.
If any.
And that's a great point. Like, if any.
Yeah. Because I think you pointed that out to, again, I'm sure you have somebody in our academy member. It's like, oh, well, I'm only at this percentage. It's like, okay, well, let's look a little bit further. It's like, well, yeah, I'm aiming for browse. Well, then great. Your browse is actually higher than your search. The goal is achieved, right? Yeah. So you don't need to change anything. But now if you're trying to change towards evergreen type of content, we're going to need to make some shifts.
Yeah. Make it more visible that you have the answer versus wondering if you have the answer kind of thing.
Correct.
So and this right over here, this section, this is like that to me, the biggest part of creating evergreen content, because I've experienced it myself.
Yep.
I've seen it from other people. I've seen so many people be excited about the idea and then give up on it because they don't see things come to fruition. And it's about the patience.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. And I'm going to stress this part as best as possible for you. So when you're listening and you're like wondering why your searches haven't been or like your evergreen content hasn't been performing.
Yep.
Sometimes it's not just about it performing. It might be the time it's taking to show up in ranking and then get to a really good place. Now, obviously, we're going to have other episodes where we're going to talk about like which data points to really be searching or looking for when it comes to making sure they're on the right path. Because just that itself is probably going to be a good 45 minutes to an hour to break down as well. But what we really want to do is understand that patience is part of the game. And realistically, even for a channel like myself, where it's like 95% evergreen content that I'm producing, probably even 100 at this point, but like just making all my content evergreen, is that it can take about 3 months, I would say, on average, to look at the data to see if it will get to a point that it'll be an evergreen content.
Yeah.
So let me express that again. So it's not that in 3 months it becomes evergreen. It's in 3 months I can see if it's on its way
to the track.
That it's on track. So I would actually say it's closer to about 6 months to really see the fruits of that labor.
Yeah.
Which I don't know about you or anybody else, but like 6 months feels like a long time to get the results. Mm-hmm. And so what happens for a lot of people is they'll make the one video that's evergreen, or maybe a second one because they heard me talk about it or I encouraged them to do it, and it didn't perform well. And so they're like, whatever, I'm going to go back to what has been working. And they go do that, and they are stressed because they have to keep up with the browse stuff and like be relevant every single week.
In the know.
And then like months later, they're like, oh, that one video is doing really well now. And they're like, maybe I should make some more evergreen content.
Yep.
But this is 6 months later, right? So then they're like, all right, let me go make another evergreen content. Oh no, it didn't perform well. And it's
now 9 months later from the original one.
Yeah, 9 months later. So like, whatever, you know what? I'm going to go back to what I'm really good at. And then doing that part, and it's getting browsed, but then they had to be active and, you know, all day, every day. And then a few months later, that second video is now performing really well. And so by the time they would even consider actually going through the process of becoming an evergreen machine.
Consistently.
Ooh, I like that, by the way.
Evergreen machine.
And being consistent is that like they've gone months and months and possibly even years by before they really saw the results of that. So that's really to say is that like take in the idea that, like, sure, make some browse videos in between your evergreen, but like be consistent, like George was saying, with still making evergreen content, even if it doesn't feel like it's working, so long as you're doing your due diligence and research on what people need, making sure that you're titling and tagging your videos, and it you'll get better over time. You're not going to be number one right away.
Yeah.
But if you keep doing those and you imagine, let's say you do two videos a week and one of them happens to be an evergreen, the other one can be browse, you're still making four videos every month. In a couple of months, you're going to have a library of content that is going to be getting viewed regardless if you're showing up or not, right? One of my favorite things to mention, and this is not like to down anybody, but like we had a mastermind member. This was years ago when I ran a mastermind. And one of the members, I remember he told me, he's like, man, if I don't release a video in a week, I drop about 60% of my viewership, like revenue. And I was like, man, that sounds like torture to have to be showing up. And like, it sounds weird, right? Because like, I'm somebody who loves work. So I'm like, no, I totally have to work if I needed to. But like, also, if I don't have to, like, I'm getting to work smarter rather than harder.
Yeah.
And so that always kind of put like a fire under my butt to be like, yeah, this is why I love evergreen content, is because if for any reason I can't show up or I need to take a breather, like, the content's still working for me. I have 800 plus versions of me right now. I think we're close to 900 working for me all day, every day. Getting views, getting searched, getting onto Google search, getting onto number one YouTube search, and so on and so forth, because we built up this engine, correct, right? Knowing that the videos we're releasing today, even though we got the first view from it right away, that with that comment, that 6 months from now, people are still going to be watching this video and actually getting value from it because they're typing in certain things that will lead them to that exact video. And we're there to serve them. And then they're going to keep getting more of our content in the future.
Correct. It's hard to fathom that, like you mentioned, and a lot of people hearing like this evergreen type of content's like, you're telling me I'm going to have to wait 3-6 months to even see some type of, not progress, but like that ranking, right, behind the scenes. But I could take that in, start the crockpot cooking channel that my wife and I have talked about, knowing that the consistency, I could see myself getting to where you're at 7 years later.
Yeah.
Right. It's like somebody going to a, you know, their personal trainer, their coach. It's like, hey, if you go to the gym for the next 6 months, you're not going to see any results.
Yeah.
But after that, you're going to see consistent results.
Yeah. Like, you're going to see that progress bar move at a much better pace once the ball gets rolling.
Correct. And that's why you're here, right? Is you're here 7 years later. You've been through the obstacles, the trenches, whatever you want to call it, right? Because there's times where we've heard some of your story. It's like, yeah, I worked a lot, right? But now we are here on this podcast to share some of those easier ways to get ahead.
Yeah. And also to believe in the process, right? That if I'm like, man, if you're releasing two videos a week as evergreen content and you just keep your head down and just keep focusing on that versus like how many views they've gotten, how many subscribers you've gotten, like,
correct,
just focus on keep getting better with creating this evergreen content. Keep your head down. Do this for 6 months and you're going to start seeing the traction. And then in a year, if you keep doing it, I can only imagine, had I known what I know to like get started with my YouTube channel, just put my head down for a year and then look back up and where I would be.
Yeah.
I'd be obviously way further ahead, but like knowing where I'm at, like part of what we're here for is to help encourage you to continue doing that and keep your head down, knowing that like, yeah, it's going to take 3 months to even start seeing some data and then 6 months to really start understanding like, oh, wow, this is getting 100 views every single 48 hours. Oh, wow. Now it's getting 200 views every 48 hours. And I released this thing 10 months ago. Like, I freaking love looking at our analytics and I'm like, I wonder how many videos are in this current 2024 year. And I'm like scrolling down.
Like none.
None of them. None of them. And I'm like, I'm really like, I'm sorry, but it's none of them. I think in our top 10, it's zero. In our top 20, I think there might be one video.
Yeah.
Because it did pop a little bit more than normal. But like, yeah, it's never that year's videos. And so next year, we'll probably see a couple 2024s pop up. But I think right now we see a lot of 2020s, 2021 content pieces.
Correct.
As our top.
And knowing what I know, that is a really good feeling.
Oh, it's so good.
Because it's like you said, is we could put things on pause and know that it's still consistent. There's going to be minor like adjustments, but that's really what it is.
And what's funny is like back in 2020, like I was just kind of getting the ball rolling, having not known truly what I know today. So like when I create content today,
knowing that, you know, 4 years later, somebody's going to watch this video and I'll be making money from it. Like, I'm thinking 4 years ago, Dennis, for the work he's done to allow me to continue to do more of this work for the future, just because of the evergreen value that I'm bringing, not just for our business, but honestly for the audience member and what we're doing, which is ultimately serving them the best way we know how. And in the best format, which is with YouTube.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk about ranking, how to do it, evergreen content all the time.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing was just mentioning, what was the episode?
So we have an episode, I think it was episode 25. Did I write that down? So it says understanding the YouTube analytics. And I believe it came out on the 16th of August.
August.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We hesitated on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the title of it. We're going to dive in more into that episode as well. So make sure you go back and listen to that older episode. But, you know, if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, like, that's what's going to keep popping up all the time, is talking about the ranking, supporting you, encouraging you, giving you ideas, giving you support. We're also going to just, you know, keep on with this, because we know that, you know, you can be listening to this the day it releases, or you can be listening to it 4 years later, and this information will still be relevant.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
All right. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize, again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.